Present tonight, I really, really do, and I know you're here because you're thankful, and you're here because you love the Lord, and it's just a beautiful time of the season just to thank the Lord. Tonight, we're going to be in Psalm, well, several different Psalms, but I'm going to read a couple of verses from Psalms 107, verses 21 and 22. But how to turn our thanksgiving into thanks living. How to turn our thanksgiving into thanks living. Oh, I tell you, talk is cheap, and a lot of people talk to say how much they do this, how much they do that, but I tell you, I just want to thank the Lord for all the blessings that He's blessed me with. I don't know if you can say what I can say, but I can say one thing tonight. I ain't ready to leave this world right now, are you? I want to stay around a little bit longer. But if I leave this world tonight, I can tell you one thing. God's been good to me. And y'all say amen to that? If He never blesses me another day, He has truly blessed me in this life. And what makes it so good is not just in this life. Because when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's really when life starts. And if you think it's good now, the blessing of the Lord, just wait till we see Him on the other side. Woo! Man, that feels good, don't it? If He's been good to you in this life, you just think about that eternal life that He has prepared for those who believe, trust Him. This ain't the end, this is just the beginning. Turning our thanksgiving into thanks living. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Really, if we're thankful, we ought to show it in our lives, hadn't we? If we really say, and people say, well, they thank the Lord, but if you're really thankful, we really ought to show it in our lives. I know that all sin is ugly, but I pray, I really believe the ugliest sin is that sin of being ungrateful to God for what He's done for us. I think about how terrible it would be in our country if we just have turned away from God, and God has been so grateful of blessing us in this country. You know, shouldn't our churches be full every time that we meet in the name of the Lord? Across this beautiful land that God has given us. Don't you think our churches ought to be full and running over of the blessings that God has blessed us with in this country? But rather, you know, being full and running over, we grumble and complain of what we don't have when we have so much what God has given us in this country. Rather than be humble and thankful to God, we are grumbling bunch of people in this country. We are a greedy bunch of people in this country. We are spoiled people in this country. I don't know where all this comes from. This is not my notes. But I just want to tell you, Lord, thank you for blessing this country. I got to thinking about that, how that God has blessed us so much in this country. You know, it's kind of like your children. I think about God's side of it. You know, you love your children, do you not? And you labor for your children. And really, you just invest all your life, really, in your children. And think about it whenever they don't turn around and appreciate it and be thankful for what the sacrifice of the parents has made for them. So many times we find that. When the mothers went down to the shadow of death to bring the little one into the world, and daddy works the long hours and hard work, and yet there's a sin there of the kids, the ungratefulness. Can you imagine how it would be? Well, that's the way we do God, I really think, in this country. And so many people claim to know Jesus. It's just like a child when God's done so much for them, and yet they're not thankful for what God has done for them. Psalms 107, 21 and 22. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his work with rejoicing. Let us pray. Father, how we want to thank you. I know I can't say this for the whole country, but I certainly can say it from my heart. That Lord, I thank you for what you've done for the people in this country. I want to thank you for this great country. And I know that, God, because the people has turned to you and our forefathers, they really believe, God, that it was you that caused them to be great in this country. But I know that we have got away from that, so many people in this country. And I can see, Father, as they turn their back on you, what's going to happen to a country that forgets God. You've warned us throughout the Bible of the nation Israel what will happen to a country that forgets God. And I know that we're no exception on what's going to happen in this country when the people will not render the praise back to God for what give us these great blessings. But we want to thank you and praise you what you have done in the past for us, and we know the people that loves you and the people that serves you, Father, that you're going to look out for us, and we want to thank you for that. You're always in control, and we know that you're in control over this country. You're in control over the world and everything that happens, even the little sparrow that falls, Lord. We know that you know about it. And we want to thank you, Lord, that you're all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving God that we serve. How we pray, God, that each person here and a member of this church should truly be thankful for this Thanksgiving season, oh God. Remember what you have done for them in the past. And we want to thank you and praise you this night for this group of people that come to love you so much. And willing, Father, to lay down their weary work of their hands of the day's end and come and serve you this night and praise you and worship you. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pilgrims, 16 and 20, and they landed on that Plymouth Rock. You know, and they spent the winter, and half the people died that cold winter. Spring and come, and they planted what little corn they had. Then the fall, they gathered 21 acres of corn. I'm sure it didn't yield 100 bushels an acre either. But they were so thankful for that harvest, and they realized and understand that it was because of God they had a harvest to be thankful for. And everything centered around the Word of God for the early pilgrims. I really believe in the early years of this country that we have lived in, only God could have brought us through what this country has been through. The wars, depression, and things this country has faced, only God could bring us through. And I'm telling you, it's only going to be God that brings us through what we're going through right now. It's only going to be of God. I'm not scared of the terrorists. They're going to come do their dirty work anyway. But we need to fear God, what God can do. I think we have forgot to be thankful, one thing, in this country. And it's really not the people that don't know the Lord. I really think the people that knows Jesus Christ as a whole has forgot to be thankful, as we should. It's not been many years ago, just about everybody understood what farming was all about. You couldn't make it rain. You had to depend on the Lord. The harvest that season, if God didn't send the right seasons, there wouldn't be enough of corn in the corn crib. They hardly make it through. But God always took care of his people. They understood it was God. But now we've come to a time in our history of our country as we can look back on and know that God has smiled, but now we come to a part that's all what man can do. If it don't rain on our farm, we'll just turn on the irrigation. You know, we can do it ourselves. We don't really need God anymore. And you go out and you just go out and we make a living and we'll just forget about God. We'll come whenever we need to come or think we need to come. We'll come. Say, thank you, Lord. It's kind of sad to know that we're just not thankful as we should. And it's really my generation and upcoming generation that's really has turned the back on God. For many, many years in our country, people really depended on God because they had no one else to depend on. In this same chapter, verse 2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." That's you and I. Have he redeemed you from the hand of the enemy, which is Satan himself, bound in chains of outer darkness, and he has redeemed us? So he's talking about us. We have moved now to what man can do, even in our worship services across our land, even in our conservative churches. But I want to tell you, I really believe it's time to get back to some old-time religion. I know that's not popular today in a lot of churches. You say old-time religion. I mean, they want the newfangled stuff this day and time. I want to tell you what, the newfangled stuff is not going to work. It's going to take some old-time religion. I'm just old-fashioned, and I'm glad I am, because that's exactly where we need to get back to. That old songbook says, you know, that old-time religion, it'll make you love everybody. And you know, it says it was good enough for my mother, it was good enough for my father, good enough for Paul and Silas, it'd be good enough when I'm dying, and it's good enough to take me to heaven. That's that old-time religion. And we need to cut some of this icing off the cake and get back down to the good stuff in our religion we call salvation. There are five spiritual sacrifices, if I can get to my points tonight, that I like for us to look at that make you turn our thanksgiving into God, into our thanks living. How God links our relationship to him, to the sacrifices. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, 4, and 5, it says, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, have you now, to whom coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chose of God and precious, ye also," talking about us, "as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Spiritual thanksgiving can turn into a spiritual thanks living that we need today. The first one is we need to do is offer our person or offer ourselves, the sacrifice of ourselves. Think about this. Now, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, "I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do you want to show God tonight that you love him? Yes, you do. You're here tonight. He says, "Now I beg you, brothers, I beg you, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice." Well, what is the mercy of God that he's begging? Paul, I believe, wrote this. What is he talking about? By the mercies of God that you present your body. What basic is Paul pleading here with the writer? What's he pleading with here that you present your body living by the mercies of God? What's the mercies of God? It's the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for you. That's the mercy of God. His bleeding and dying for you. That was the mercy of God upon humankind of this world. That was the mercy of God. Jesus Christ, his only son, he allowed him to die. That's the mercies of God. That's the reason that you're able to know when you leave this world, as I said a while ago, I'm going to a better world because of the mercies of God. Why? What is the mercy of God? Because Jesus Christ died, made a plan for me, made a path for me by his shed blood if I'd accepted. That's the reason I know, because it's the mercy of God upon me. No other way could we make it to that place but the mercies of God. It's not of our own. We're not of ourselves. He has bought you with a high price. You here tonight, you're saved. Your body do not belong to you anymore. It belongs to Jesus Christ. Did he purchase that body? With a great price. It didn't cost you anything for salvation, but it cost Jesus Christ his life and his blood. You do not belong to yourself. He gave his body for us. We ought to give our bodies back to him. Amen? That's what Christianity is all about. It's all about others. Have you been like I've been many times, that I have been real serious, and I give my heart and I give everything to the Lord, Then slowly I begin to get cold. And sometimes my heart gets covered up with coldness. And I may not even recognize it. You may not even recognize it. I might have the same smile. I might have the same handshake. But I very slowly begin to take things back from God. Have you ever give God your all and then slowly begin to take things back and start taking things back and live like you want to? And then the Holy Spirit of God, I thank Him so much, the Holy Spirit of God breaks through. And He says, you know, I.B., you're not committed to me as you used to be. You're not committed to me as you ought to be. And then I have to give Him back my body for a living sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, whenever the brazing altar, they put the animal on that brazing altar, it was a wire mash and fired up underneath it, and they get hot, get to burning, and it began to burn the body of that sacrifice animal, and it began to slide off the center of the fire. You know, it would slide off, and then they had what they called the flesh hooks, because it was so hot they couldn't touch it, and they'd take these flesh hooks and they would drag it back over on the center of the fire, because it could be burned up and consumed for the Lord. Well, the same thing happens to me. I get off the sacrifice. I get off the fire. I begin to cool off. That's what happens to that sacrifice. And the flesh hooks of the Holy Spirit of God have to pull me back, and you too. I'm sure you have you find out this same thing for yourself too. So make a living sacrifice. We need to sacrifice my person to Jesus Christ, a living self. But you see, it must be voluntarily. Nobody can do this for you. It's very personal. In the Old Testament, the sacrifice was slain. But nowadays, we are a living sacrifice. To the Lord Jesus Christ, I take death to myself, is what He's asking us to do. Die to myself. Lord, thank You. Lord, You come number one in my life. See, whenever you sacrifice your whole person, the Lord comes number one in your life. The Lord comes before your wife, sir. The Lord comes before your husband. The Lord comes before your children. The Lord comes before that great, beautiful home that you may be living in. I'm going to tell you, the Lord comes before that great education that people's trying to get. The Lord comes before the great ambition that we have to be able to serve self, but the Lord must come first. The Lord comes before any business that you have or your business this day. The Lord comes before our pleasures. And when He sacrificed our all on the altar, voluntarily, personally, He comes first. You're on the center of that sacrifice, is on the center of the fire. So many people now, it's very well slid off the altar of the Lord. Holy, it says. That means completely. God looks at me and He looks at you, and does God have all of you tonight? Are you on the altar tonight? Have you given Him your all tonight? Is He number one in everything in your life? Is He number one? And He reads every one of us. He reads your heart this night, and He looks at your heart and sees just exactly where He stands and where He's at. If He's number one, two, three, or four, or what comes before Him? What pleasure that we have? What ambition do we have today? Not just us, but everybody that names the name of Jesus Christ, He's searching out the night completely. Does He have your all? I fear sometimes that I might be a hypocrite. You ever fear sometimes that you might be a hypocrite? Some things on your heart you may not be give to the Lord. To sacrifice my person, the first thing, to turn my thanksgiving into thanksgiving. He must have everything of me and you also. But the sacrifice of my praise, we have the music here at Pleasant Hill, the choir, musicians, all this music. The emphasis is upon praise. That's what we get ready to praise the Lord. And we come and we praise the Lord in our song service, and we sing. God wants to hear our prayers and our praises. Hebrews 13:15 tells us, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continuously. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's what we do. Every song should give praise to the name of Jesus Christ. If it's a song that don't give the praise of Jesus Christ, it's not worth singing. Not for worship. it must give him praise. Everything that we sing about. And this love offering that we have, we thank you that we have a great love offering, but he wants our praise also. As we think about this, the praise. Our praise is more valuable, really, than our money that we put in the collection plate. Did y'all know that? Our praise is more valuable to God than the money that we put in the collection plate. Psalm 69 tells us this in verse 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with song and with magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than ox or bullocks that hath horns and hoofs. That's the way that they gave back in the Old Testament. They gave the ox and the bullocks and the sacrifices. This shall please the Lord better than that. What? The praise of our Lord and Savior. Songs we sing more pleasing than what with the money that we give in the offering plate. But your praise is not a substitute for your offering. And your praise is vain and empty unless you are willing to give your offering. Did I make that plain? Psalm 119, 108. Except I beseech thee the free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgment. The free will offering. No matter what we give in the collection plate, we give in praise, it must be a free will offering. You must want to give it. You must want to give it to the Lord. You know, sometimes it just kind of breaks my heart. You have to get people sometimes to praise the Lord for what he's done for them. How great God is to us today. Sometimes people come to church and say, bless me if you can, God. Bless me if you can. That's sometimes our attitude. We go to church to praise the Lord and to worship him. Bring your praise with you. Do you have anything to praise God for tonight? Do we have anything to praise God? I like that song we sing. I'll tell you, I love that old song. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And I'm telling you right now, if I could sing, I'd be singing that right now. I don't know even how it goes, but thank you, Lord, for I got a house, a roof over my head, and shoes on my feet, and food on my table, fine family. But it says it all, don't it? Thank you, Lord. I really believe we could stand up and sing that song and go home, and God would bless us just by thinking about what he's done for us as we sing that song. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. And that song just named just the common things of life that we need. It covers our need, not our wants. I was thinking about, you know, I got a good place to sleep. Y'all got a good place. I got to go home to a home that is warm. And it's really nice. And I'm not hungry. Refrigerator full of food. I got more clothes in my closet than some kings probably have. They're not all that expensive, but they're clothes. I got two or three pairs of shoes. I got a fine family. Can y'all say that tonight? What more do we need out of life than these essentials that God has given us to praise him for? How great it is, the sacrifice of our praise, but the sacrifice of our prayers. Psalm 141 and 2, let my prayers be set forth before thee in incense, and lift up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. This carries us back to the Old Testament. The Old Testament about sacrifices, I said, of these animals that they make. As they would go into the tabernacle, remember the tabernacle we studied and had on the wall, and the first thing that you go into the door of the tabernacle, a great white cloth fence would be out there, and the first thing you'd see with this blazing altar where that animal I just told you about would be sacrificed and laid on that brazen altar. That would about go by the blood, the sacrifice. That's the first thing the priest would do, would go that by the blood. That sacrifice was made. Then as you go into that cube-shaped room, that holy place, not the holy of holy, but the holy place, there'd be a candle holder with seven lampstand, that we would call it. That shows a lampstand the light of Jesus Christ, because that's the only light there was. It's covered up. It's dark in there, but the light of Jesus Christ. And then the showbread, the 12 loaves of showbread, one loaf for each one of the tribes of the nation of Israel, the substance of Jesus Christ keeps us going. But then you come to that golden altar, not a brazen altar, but the golden altar. Now, the golden altar where the incense was at. The priest would come by first the brazen altar, and he'd get him some fire after the brazen altar where the blood was dripping down on it. He'd go into that holy place, and then there'd be this little golden altar. And that's where they put the incense and have this coals and put the coals inside this incense, and it would lift up a sweet flavor to the Lord by the blood, the golden altar. You couldn't offer any strange fire. You read your old test, you find the two of the men dried that, and they died. Only this fire could come by the altar, this brazing altar. You had to take this coal and carry it into this golden altar. I had a cup to carry it in and put this coal. You couldn't get it from no other place. You couldn't strike a match down. Couldn't come from no other place. Had to come by the fire of the brazing altar. No strange fire. Why? Because you had to come by the blood. By the blood. That represents the dying death of Jesus Christ on that altar. They carry that into the incense, and then they would put that incense there, and it would fog up the room and vapor on up, and it would be a sweet odor to the Lord as it vapored on up. And that represents the prayers of Jesus Christ as they ascend on up to heaven. You remember, you study that tabernacle, and the reason this blood, I tell you that no one can pray to God except through Jesus Christ. This shows there in the Old Testament, the tabernacle. The blood is a judgment upon Jesus Christ, that blood of that brazing altar, the sacrifice that he made. And only that fire of judgment could be carried in there to the holy place and placed on that golden altar. And the incense went up and represents the really intercession prayers of Jesus Christ for you and I this hour. So you can't pray. No one can pray. They say, well, I'm praying to God all the time. They're not praying to God. Oh, God, they say, you mean tell me God don't hear them? Yes, God hears every sound upon this earth or this whole universe. He hears. But you can't reach a holy God with a sinful man. You got to come by the will of blood. You can't pray to God. You can't reach God unless you come by the will of the cross. To offer up this incense. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, let us therefore come boldly, that's with confidence. Come boldly where? Unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That golden incense. Only way that our prayers to go up is because we bring them in the name of Jesus Christ. The blood is a sweet perfume to God. Then our sacrifices are our possessions that God has given us. Hebrews 13:16 said, But to do good and to communicate, that means to share, forget not, for with such sacrifice God is well-pleasing. It means to share. Give to those in needs. Giving is an act of worship. Giving is an act of worship, and it's a free will on everything we do for the Lord. Everything we do must do it willingly. Give. If we don't give it willingly, God neither needs it nor does he want it. If we're not willing to give it willingly. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Let every man according as he has prospered in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Have God been good to you? It takes money for the work of the Lord. Don't forget to give. What do we give? Malachi 1:8 tells us, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it down to the governors. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. So many times, not just our money. You know what we do? We give God our leftovers. We give God our leftovers. If you got enough of time, you ain't got nothing else to do. A lot of people then, well, I reckon I go and do so and so for the Lord. How busy are you? Do you give him that leftover time? You know, all your everything that you have in your life right now, every minute belongs to God. And we don't have time to visit. We don't have time to do what God tells us to do. People give God their leftovers, their time, their talent. Things don't work, we'll bring it out and give it to the church. It's unsold to God, no time for God. But the sacrifice of my purity. What is that? Psalm 51 and 17. David, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. Have you give God that and broken your heart? Is it didn't broken your heart, you give him a broken heart. You know, that's the only thing God will use if something is broken. Do you know that? Remember that perfume that Mary broke? It had to be broken. Remember the housetop was broken and they let that man down for that broken housetop? The broken things, God. Remember he broke those loaves of bread and he blessed them and fed 5,000? The broken things God uses. And a broken heart is the only heart that God will use for us to be broken before God. You know, sometimes I come to church, and I'm sure you do too, with kind of a holy and unbroken spirit. God looks at this world, and it breaks his heart. You know why? Because the majority of people in this world is marching to hell. Majority of people that you know and I know, the majority of people is marching to hell. It breaks God's heart, and it ought to break our heart. Sometimes, but our heart's so cold and ungracious and unthankful of our heart, and in order to break our heart. And what ought to break our heart? The same thing that breaks Jesus' heart. He looks out upon the world today and he sees they need a shepherd. They need to be told. In order to break our heart, had it not? The more that you get concerned about people, the more people will be saved. Do y'all believe that? The more that you get concerned about people, the more people will be saved. More family members come to know Jesus Christ. And that great blessing is it starts in this life and it carries over to that other life. In Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, it says, thus saith the Lord, the heavens is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that thou buildest unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hands made, and those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembling at my words. This man I look at with a broken heart, and he trembles at the word of God. Sacrifice of my person. I need to give Jesus Christ my all. I need to sacrifice my praise to him. He needs to hear my praise. To sacrifice my prayers, he offer up to the Lord. Sacrifice my possessions, what he has given me, for me to give back to him. To sacrifice my the purity of a broken heart back to my Lord and Savior. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. This Thanksgiving season, I hope you remember what God has done for you. Not only wait till that Thursday of Thanksgiving next week, but I hope you remember right now. Why do we have to be reminded of the things that God has given us? Why do we have this on this table before us? What it say? You see what it says on this communion table? It says to remember. Why do we forget it so many times? Why do we have the Lord's Supper every quarter? Why not once every 40 years? Because we forget what God does for us. We forget about what he did on Calvary's cross for us. And we have to be reminded of it. Thank you for Thanksgiving season. It reminds us to be thankful for what God has done for us every day. For what he's done for your family. As I said, as I walked into this building tonight, I might leave this world before daylight. And you might too. We don't know. But if I do, can I say the Lord has truly blessed me? If I never take another breath of his air, he's blessed me so much. If my heart never beats another time, he's blessed me in this body. If my eyes never see another sunrise, he's blessed me the many sunrise that I've seen. Truly, the Lord has been good to me. As we stand together,